For several days now, the theme has been of the apostles and the apostolate. And today, Matthew goes to the trouble of naming the 12 apostles. Suppose we reflect for a few minutes in Christ's Eucharistic presence of who those 12 men were. First of all, their number is exactly 12. So that after having been identified, they are no longer named. The evangelist then simply referred to them as the 12. Why 12? Well, as the very context indicates, and as later on Christ would prophesy that they would judge the 12 tribes of Israel, Christ chose 12 men in the new law because the old law was based on the 12 tribes who were really derived from the 12 sons of Israel, whose other name was Jacob. Christ thereby wished to indicate that he was no rebel against the past, no revolutionary, that he came to build on and fulfill the past. We are moreover struck by the variety of these 12 men. Clearly, whatever else Jesus did, he chose 12 characters, and that's the word. They couldn't have been not only more varied, but what is more important, more diverse. Compare the two evangelists, Matthew and John. Matthew, the pedestrian narrator. John, the lofty mystic. Compare the simplicity of Philip with the outspoken aggressiveness of Peter. Some eventually wrote. Some left us nothing in writing. Some, like Peter, talked a lot. Some, it seems, said very little, but we are sure did much. By the way, there's no connection necessarily between how much a person says and how much he or she does. These men were, with one notorious exception, loyal to Christ. Because, not surprisingly, though we should remind ourselves of this, that being an apostle does not mean that a person has mastered the science of theology. They were, as far as we know, not necessarily unlettered, but surely uneducated men. What they had in common, barring always the one exception, was deep faith in Jesus. And while we do speak of faith as having its object in what we believe, more properly, faith is loyalty in whom we believe. These men, and we may not have caught the nuance, Matthew, in the few verses that he read, began by calling them disciples. Then almost in the next verse he says, and these were the 12 apostles. So what's the difference? These men were apostles indeed because they were sent. But they had first to be disciples, which means those who learn. A disciple is one who learns. If then there is one quality of these who were apostles, that is, those who were sent to proclaim the kingdom of God, they had first to be docile learners. We might then justly say, only those have a right to proclaim the gospel and therefore to be sent to share what they have with others who had first humbly learned and listen, so much so that we should say, no one else has a right to speak for Christ unless he has first humbly listened to Christ. But one more quality, because it touches us most intimately. You see, this was the first community. That's right. They all had their vocation, and unlike ours, theirs was visible or audible. They heard Christ calling them, and they followed. And because they were loyal to the same Jesus, they were thereby united among themselves in one community. Now we know they have their differences of opinion. And the evangelist, in the very few verses in the gospel, we may be sure they must have covered a lot. Being kind men, I'm speaking of the evangelist. They didn't want to tell us about all the differences of opinion. You couldn't possibly put a Peter and a Philip in the same community without having, well, some abrasion. And we know how much trouble Thomas must have caused. The dramatic episode when after Christ's resurrection, he, the rationalist in the group, I'm always comforted with Thomas. It's my own tendency. If he was docile, and he was, he had a hard time working at his docility. He just withstood all the others. And do you know what? And he was absent from the community. Remember? We don't know where he was, but wherever he wasn't among the group the first time that Christ appeared. Nevertheless, being united with the one Savior whom they loved, they did. Not because they were so like, but in spite of their being so unlike, how comforting. That's what makes a community. Unity created by love in loyalty. Loyalty to the one Jesus. That's that. thee, not all wills, because by way of epilogue, we've got to also say there was a Judas among them. But, and Peter didn't even wait for Pentecost to make sure that somebody replaced the traitor. And the highest then was joined to the 12 to fill out the complement to correspond to the 12 tribes of Israel. That is, that the 12 diverse, loyal, docile, generous men to obtain for us some of their sense of loyalty to the Master, love of community which they have, and willingness to be taught by Jesus, so as to be authentically apostles of Jesus. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.